Sometimes our parents call us names. Friends call us names. Coaches, teachers, they call us a name. And sometimes it's in jest, and sometimes they mean it, and sometimes it's just flippant. But what I've found in life is that the devil has a way of taking some casual remark that somebody says and pounding it into our heart and our life and using it like a spike going into our heart. And sometimes we pick up that bad name that's not the name that God has for us. And what I want you to do during this fast is begin to identify some names that you've picked up. See, it doesn't matter what somebody calls you, but it matters what you accept. Yeah. People can call you names all day long, and if you throw them off, it doesn't have any effect on you. But if you accept that name, sometimes subconsciously you accept it and you pick that up. Sometimes it keeps you from being everything that God wants you to be in life. And it becomes a burden, and it becomes a weight, and it becomes a heavy load, baggage that you're carrying through life, that you'd be better off without that baggage. And I want to talk to you today about getting rid of some bad names that you've picked up, that you've called yourself. And see, you have the freedom, you have authority to get rid of that name. You have the authority to take it, and you also have the authority to get rid of it. And I believe that today, as I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit's going to do something that I cannot do and begin to show you things in your life, names that you've picked up. That are not good names. They're not God names. They're not the names that God has for you. But you begin to call yourself that and accept that. And it has hindered you and has kept you from being everything that God wants you to be. And I'm believing that through today's message and the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to get a release in your life. And you're going to get some freedom. And you're going to be able to walk into things that you've had dreams on the inside of you that the devil has stolen and squashed and kept you from realizing it by giving you that bad name and says, no, 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 you can't do that. That's a crazy dream. That's a wild dream. Yeah, the dreams of God, the vision of God is wild. It's crazy. It's bigger than you can ask or think. It's bigger than you can accomplish. And I'm going to encourage you to take back some of those dreams that the devil has stolen by giving you a bad name. That's what I want to talk about today. So if you go with me on this journey, we're going to try to accomplish something. Yes. Proverbs 23:7 says, as he thinks within himself, so is he. This is a very important principle to understand. What the outworkings of your life are stems from the inworkings of your mind. As he thinks within himself, so is he. If you think you're a failure, no matter how hard you try, you fail because you've already pre-programmed it. You've already prophesied it to yourself. I want to encourage you today to challenge some wrong thinking, stinking thinking. Sometimes we need a checkup from the neck up. We need to go look on what's going on the inside of us, this self-talk, this inner talk that we talk ourselves out of the blessings of God. We talk ourselves sometimes out of the healing, out of prosperity, out of the anointing, out of God using me. Sometimes, I've experienced this, you feel in the Holy Spirit, I should pray for this person, and then you have this self-talk. You can't do that. And then you begin to think of these names, oh, you this, and I'm a that, and the devil beats you down, and you just sit there and you let that opportunity go by. What I want to do today is help us not to miss these opportunities that God has for our life. For as he thinks within himself, so is he. And I told you last time, and it bears repeating, so I'm going to tell this story again about this pastor that was in Thailand. And he was walking down the streets trying to absorb the culture. He walked past a tattoo parlor that had pictures of different tattoos in the window. And one of the pictures said, born to lose. And he thought, surely no one has actually gotten that tattoo. And it intrigued him, and he went into the tattoo parlor and talked to the owner and said, has anybody ever gotten that tattoo? And he said, yes, as a matter of fact, I just put that on somebody. I put that on his hand right here, born to lose. And the man said, I don't understand. What kind of a person would want a tattoo that says born to lose? And the shop owner in his broken English said, tattoo on brain before tattoo on hand. And that's the way our life works. Before it works out in our lives, in our hands, in our feet, in our mouth, and there's something imprinted on our brain, and we need to go and look at some of those imprints on our brain that are not from God, and let's get rid of them. What name do you call yourself? Let's change some of the names that we call ourselves, that maybe people have given us, that we've adopted. Let's change our name from weak, or too small, or tired, poor, sick, untalented, unwanted, unloved, unable, not enough, and let's change our name to strong, mighty, powerful, able, wise, loved, more than enough, compassionate, overcomer, winner, champion. I can do all things. That's a good name. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Everything always works out for me. God is on my side. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. What's in your noggin? What have you put in there? What's that name? What's that title? What's that saying that says, no, I can't do this. No, I'm not going to step out. No, I'm not going to take that risk because of a name. Too small, insignificant, too weak. Maybe we need to change that name and line it up with the Word of God and say what God says about you instead of what somebody said about you. Some name out of anger or fear or just jest. Somebody put a name on you that you accepted. Maybe you need to get rid of it and get a God name. Because I can assure you, God doesn't have an evil name for you. He doesn't have a weak name. He doesn't have a small name. He doesn't have an insignificant. God has some big names for you. But sometimes we can't accept that big name because we hold so securely onto that bad name from the past. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to grab a name and to struggle and not want to give it up. But I can assure you, your life will be better if you give it up. And that's a big part of what Freedom Group is. That will be starting with one of our small groups where you can look back and the Holy Spirit will guide you and show you some places where those names. But I believe that during this 21 days, if you'll take this serious and you go before God, he'll begin to show you names. He showed me something this week that I didn't even remember it. And God showed me a name that my dad called me that I needed to break and get rid of. And I believe God will do that for you during this 21 days. He'll begin to show you some stuff that you need to change. What's in your noggin? Find out what bad is in there that you need to get out. What have we allowed other people to write on our brain? And how is it affecting our decisions today? How do you see yourself? Maybe you need to change your name. Not the name on your birth certificate, but the name on the inside that you call yourself. You know, in the history, in the Bible as we read, God often changed people's names. Not everybody's names, but if the circumstance warranted, isn't that interesting that he would change someone's name? Because why? He needed to change how they thought about themselves. He changed Abram to Abraham, right? He changed Jacob to Israel. Jacob meant supplanter. Israel meant prince with God. He changed Simon to Peter. There's a reason behind, there's a methodology. There's a reason God changes our names. And I don't know that you need to change the name that you tell people is your name, but we need to change that name on the inside of our brain that we call ourselves. Jacob, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob was the father of his 12 sons became the patriarchs of the 12 tribes of Israel, right? Joseph was one of his sons, the 11th, and then the 12th son. What happened was his wife Rachel, Jacob and Rachel. Rachel was his wife. And Rachel was pregnant and getting ready to be with child. And they were traveling. And Rachel went into labor. Jacob was out in the fields. And they sent for Jacob because she was having a very difficult time. She was in distress. She was in a lot of pain. Didn't look well. Didn't look like she was going to survive this delivery. And she did have the child. And she died shortly after. But before she died, she took that child and she said to the handmaid, his name is Benoni. And she handed the child to the maid and she died. Benoni means son of my sorrow. Just then, Jacob walks into the tent and sees what happened. The child is born. His wife has died. The handmaid hands the child to Jacob and says, his name is Benoni. Rachel named him Benoni. And Jacob said, no, his name is not Benoni. His name is Benjamin, son of my strength. See, Jacob knew the power of a bad name. He grew up with a bad name. He had to change that. He said, I'm not going to raise a child with that kind of a name. I'm not letting her take her pain. I understand where she's coming from, but now she's gone. But this son has a future, and I'm not going to let him go through life with that name, Benoni. His name is Benjamin, son of my strength. He knew that it would affect his whole life, his outcome, and his progeny, and he had to change that name, and he changed it right then. And he said, no, he's not going to have that name. And I would say God says over you, if there's some bad names that have been get over you, God has a better name. God has a new name, and I want you to find it in this fact. And God's going to give you your new name. and get rid of the Benoni and get a Benjamin name, a name of strength. And Benjamin became one of the strongest tribes of Israel. Many of the great kings of Israel came through the loins of Benjamin. And who knows that he would have not done that if he was Benoni and had to carry that burden all his life. So that man changed his name. Maybe right now as we're talking about this and as we go through, you might remember some names that people have given you, and you might have bitterness against people who have named you. But I want to tell you, be bigger than that. Say, give yourself that name. No, I'm bigger than that. I'm a peacemaker. That's my name. I get along with everybody. I don't carry grudges. I don't carry that. I forgive. That's your new name. It's a new day. That's your new name. I love to forgive. God is good. That's your new name. And there's freedom in that. Just begin to forgive those people, because offenses will come. It's impossible to go through life without offenses. Don't be mad at the people that offended you. Sometimes we just need to be mad at ourselves for go ahead and accepting the bad name. And that we can change that, though, by getting rid of it and finding our new name in God. God has a good name for you. God has a good plan. Maybe we need to wash away the negativity of the world. That's what a fast is so powerful in doing. A fast can give you a restart. It's a time to restart. Scientists tell us you can start a new habit. 21 days, you can break an old habit. In 21 days, you can start a new habit. 21 days of prayer and fasting to get a new name, to get a new start, to break some old habit patterns. You're struggling with some old habit patterns, things you'd like to break. Break them in this 21 days. Look at this in Ephesians chapter 4, says this, verse 22. That in reference to your, look at this, former manner of life. Underline that in your notes if you would, if you want to take that home with you. Former manner of life. Some of the things that have plagued you and the things that you're not too proud of, the things that you're unhappy about in your life. Put it in this category. My former manner of, that's the old me. It's not the new me. That's my former manner of life. That's not my manner of life. That's my former manner of life. That's the old me. He's gone. He's dead. I've got a new name in God. I'm doing new things in God. In your former manner of life, lay aside the old self. See, it's you still got that free will, and you got to do it. You got to lay aside thoughts of the failures of the past, and it keeps plaguing you. What if it happens again? No, it's not going to happen again. I'm in a new place. I'm going from glory to glory, strength to strength. It's a new day. I'm going from victory to victory. I'm on a new path with God. I'm in a better relationship with God. He's strong on the inside of me. I'm not going to go through that again. I'm going higher and higher and stronger and stronger. The path of the righteous is like the light of day. It shines brighter and brighter till the noonday. So he said the noonday because it continues to go up. It reaches its peak. That's the Christian life. That's what God wants to do with you. Lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in according with the lusts of deceit. He said the devil's a liar. It's the deceit. He's got you to believe a lie, that you're weak, that you're insignificant, that you're a failure, that you're a mess up. You're too small, too skinny, too big, too something. Negative deceit. He's a liar. The devil's a liar. That's what Jesus said. He said he's always a liar. He's the father of lies. Find those lies in your life and break them and get free from them once and for all. The lust of deceit. And here's the solution right here. And that you be renewed. Beginning of the year, 21 day fast, new habit, renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's where the battle is. Say, oh, the battle's out here. It's those people. It's this. It's that. It's this bad habit. It's this. No, it's here. There's the battle. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's where you win, right there. That's the good news, because you can control what goes on inside there. That means you can have a new destiny. You can write a new future for your life. It can be a better outcome. It's never too late to be what you could have been. Because with God, He's timeless. He can turn things around. He can make up for lost time. It's never too late to be what you're supposed to be. Just get on track with God. He'll bring you forward. He'll bring you ahead. He'll bring you into the things that He has for you. Renewed in the spirit of mind. Put on the new self. See, you got to take something off and you got to put something on. Put on the new self. There's a new self. There's a new you created in Christ. It's bigger and it's greater than anything you ever thought or imagined. That's what the Bible says. The plans of God are bigger and greater. They're better. They're beyond. But it takes faith, and it takes starting right here. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God, not in the likeness of the old me, not in the likeness of the lies of the devil, but in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness. This is the things that God, what is righteousness? Right standing with God. Oh, I don't know if I can do that. Good, because you can't. He already did it. He already did it. He made him who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on my behalf, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. Praise God. There's your righteousness. It's in Christ, created in righteousness. And holiness of the truth. Yes, you need the word. Put on your new self in 2020. How does God do it? Ephesians chapter 5. I'm glad you asked that. That's a good question. Thanks, guys. How does God do it? Here's how he does it. Look here. Ephesians chapter 5. Just as Christ also loved the church. Did you know Jesus loves the church? You know why? Because he's the head. Because he created it. Because he said, I'll build my church. The devil hates the church, and he's trying to separate you from the church because that's where you belong. That's where you learn. That's where you grow. That's where you use your gifts and talents and ability. That's where you're effective. And it says, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her. Who's her? The church. Who's the church? That's us. Church is people. It's not a building. It's not a name. It's not a sign. We're the church. Gave himself up for her. Watch. Having cleansed her. So you got to get rid of that stinking thinking. We got to get rid of that old negative. Cleansed her. How did he do it? By the washing of water with the word. That's why I'm such a big word guy. That's why I say this is something that needs to be the fabric of your life, is you need to read the word every day. You need to get a word from God. Carry that around in your heart and your mind. How is he going to do it? You're going to get in the word, and a word's going to jump off that page into your life. Say, that's my word for today. And you take it and you meditate on it and you use it, and it changes your life. By the washing of the water with the word. Jesus is called the word. The word is not just a book. It's an extension of God to me and you. Yeah. It's him reaching out, showing us how to live. It gives the answers for life. How do we know? There's so many opinions, right and wrong. Here it is right here. God's answered all our questions in the book, the word. Spend time in the word. How does God do it? That's how he does it. Receive what God says about us. What does he say about us? Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you. Did you know God has plans for you? You got plans for you, but I'm going to tell you, God's got better plans for you. What kind of plans are they? Plans to what? Prosper. Do you know God wants you to prosper? Yes. Maybe you've limited yourself. Maybe, oh, that's evil. It's greedy. No. God wants to prosper you. That's what it said. Plans I have, declares the plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Oh, God has such a hard plan for my heart. No, he doesn't. That's our stinking thinking, agreeing with the devil, keeping God from doing what he wants to do. Have a better plan. Not to harm you. No, that's not God's plan. The earth is fallen. There's a curse. Yeah, we're going to go through crud. There's crud. There's a struggle. There's challenges. But see yourself coming through that out on the other side, victorious, not staying there forever, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. God's plans for you are good. Yeah. Look at this, Romans 8:28. Love this verse here. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes all things. It doesn't say he causes all things, because sometimes they're caused by our bad decisions. You have freedom of choice, not freedom of consequences. Sometimes they're caused by the devil, by the curse, by, you know, the fallen nature of man. They're caused by sin. But watch this. God causes all things to work together for good. He doesn't cause all things to happen, but he causes all things to work together for good. The reason I didn't give part two in December was the day before I was going to give it, a tornado went through my property, caused massive damage, big problems. And you know, it's still a little bit overwhelming. And the devil said, see, doesn't pay to serve God. I seem to be the epicenter of this tornado, my property. I have over 300 trees, a tree on my house, it ripped the roof off of my garage, there's a tree on the dog pen, there's trees everywhere, trees everywhere. I ruined my cow pens, fell on the mobile home, all kinds of, yeah. And so the devil's saying, see, God didn't protect you. And you know what I said? I said, watch this, devil. We know that God causes all things, even tornadoes, to work together. It's going to end up working out for my good, bless God. Amen. Now, it's not over yet, and I don't have the rest of the testimony, but I'm already saying it. I'm going to say that one day I'm going to say, it turned out for my good. You might be in the middle of something right now, and you don't know how it's going to turn out for good, but it starts by standing on something, believing on something, your mind renewed with the word, stand on the word, and I'm saying this tornado's going to end up being a blessing. That's what I'm saying. And there's something in your life that you're going to have to be like that. And you're going to hang in there like a hare in a biscuit and just hold on to that promise from God and don't give up. Say, this is going to turn out for my good. They still haven't given me any money. They sent 3 engineers on Thursday, flew a guy up from Miami. And I'm saying, oh my. But then I said, you know what? This is going to turn out for my good. That engineer means dollar signs to me. It's going to end up being a blessing. I don't know why it's such a big deal. But it's just a test. It's just a test. All of life is a test to see if we can pass it and go to the next level. God causes all things to work together. That's a decision you make to say that and to believe that. You can say, oh, this ain't going to work out. And guess what? This ain't going to work out. Or you can say, this is going to work out for my good. And guess what? It's going to work out for your good. Because that's your confession. Revelation 12:11, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and loving not their life even unto death. You got to have a testimony. You got to say something. The word, what word, what are you creating? God created the world, the universe, with words, and he gave you the same type of power. You're creating your future with your words. What are you creating? What are you saying? Oh, nothing ever works out for me. I got a friend, I'll just call him, his name Smith. When something bad happens, he goes, that's the Smith curse. His name's not Smith, but I'm just giving you that example. He goes, that's the Smith curse. And you know what I think you ought to say? That's the Smith blessing. It's going to turn around for my good. What do you say? What do you say? Every time something bad, oh, that's just the way things are. You're creating stuff with your words. No, this is going to turn out for my good. Yes. Uh-huh. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That's why he loves the church. Is your purpose being fulfilled? How is your purpose being fulfilled? You take your gifts and you apply them. You serve. You get on a dream team. You do something. Go to discovery. God, and you say in your heart, God is good. No, God is good. What's happening doesn't look good, but you say, God is good. God is for me. And God is in me. There was a missionary that went to a foreign land to start a ministry there. He was there about 3 days, and he tells this story. He said, I don't know if it actually happened or if it was a dream, so I'll tell it as the dream. He said, in the middle of the night, he had just been there a few days getting his ministry started, and he said he woke up in the middle of the night, and there was just a feeling of evil. There was a foul smell in the air, kind of a dankness in the room. And he got up, he turned on the light, and he got up, and he looked across the room, and there was the devil himself. Standing there looking at him, just kind of mocking him as if to say, oh, you think you're going to do something in this country? And he just said he just had an evil look, and he was looking at him. And the missionary said he was going to just rebuke him in the name of Jesus, and he said nothing would come out of his mouth. He felt paralyzed. He went to speak, and he couldn't say a word. He thought, well, I'll just point at him and tell him to get out with my hand. And he went to move his arms, and his arms wouldn't move. They were just limp at his side. He couldn't speak. And every time he tried to do something, the devil would just rear back his head and laugh and point at him. And he said, well, I better get out of here. And he said he was going to leave, and he said his legs wouldn't move. He was paralyzed. He said, I'm helpless. I was standing there in this vision or appearance or the dream. He said, I couldn't speak. I couldn't point at him. I couldn't move my legs. And there's the devil laughing at me. And he thought, well, one thing I can still think. So he thought, Jesus, help me. He cried out to Jesus in his mind. He said, instantly, Jesus appeared over at the right side of the room. And a cool fragrance came into the room. And Jesus walked from the side. And he walked into the middle between him and the devil and turned his back to the missionary and faced the devil. And the missionary thought, oh, okay, now Jesus is going to rescue me. And he said, Jesus just stood there and he didn't do anything. And he thought, why aren't you doing anything? And then Jesus took a step backwards and he thought, no, this can't. He took another step and he took 3. He started walking backwards and he thought, no, everything I've believed, no, this is wrong. Jesus, you're supposed to defeat him. You have the power. You're supposed to kick. Why are you backing up? And he kept backing up, and he kept backing up, and he's screaming in his mind, oh, no, what have I done? What is going on? And Jesus kept walking backwards to where he was almost, and he thought, you're going to step right on me. And then Jesus took one more step and disappeared into the man. And the power of God came on the man, and all of a sudden he roared like a lion, get out of here, Satan, in Jesus' name. And Satan disappeared just like that. God had to come on the inside of him. That's where the power is. And look at this. John 14, 19 says this, because I live. Jesus speaking to you, because I live, you will live also. It's not in your own strength. You're not limited to yourself. You don't have to fight the devil yourself. Watch this. In that day, that's today, after he's died, buried, rose from the dead, this is what happens. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That's what happened to that missionary. Jesus became real on the inside of him, and he had power and he had authority over the devil. And I can assure you today that you have power and authority over the devil if you are in God and he's in you and you're in the Father. There's power, there's strength. Nothing can defeat you. Nothing can stand in your way unless you give yourself a bad name and hinder it. It's time to change our name from powerless to powerful, from loser to winner, from victim to victor. It's time to change your name, not on your birth certificate, but in your head. See yourself as God sees you in 2020. Begin to see your future, where you want to be at the end of 2020. Get a vision. Ask God to give you a vision. Believe for some concrete things. People have been sharing some things with me. They're awesome. They're great. Get a new vision for your life. I told you last time about the friend that I had in Los Angeles. His name was Duffy, and how God showed him to change his name, and his life completely changed. Completely changed, yeah. You can go back and listen. I don't want to retell that story, but I want to tell you about another man named Billy Hornsby. Now, some of you know his brother, Scott Hornsby, who's one of the overseers of our church. He's one of the leaders of ARC, the Association of Related Churches, one of the founders of that. He was here in October. You know Scott Hornsby. How many remember Scott? Well, Billy was his brother. Billy's gone to be with Jesus about 5 years ago. Let me tell you a little story about Billy Hornsby, who was the one who founded the Association of Related Churches. When he was 16 years old, he was in school, he was in high school, he was sitting in there, and Billy Hornsby was a genius. And he was sitting in this math class, and the math teacher put a problem up on the board and said, Hornsby, go up and solve that problem. And Billy got up and wrote the answer and went and sat down, and the teacher said, wrong. And he said, no, that's right. He said, no, it's wrong because you didn't show your work. And Billy gave him some kind of snide 16-year-old remark, and it aggravated the teacher, and the teacher stood up and said, Hornsby, you're a dummy, you're a loser, and you will never amount to anything. Billy Hornsby said at that moment something snapped in his brain, and he said, I'm a dummy, I'm a loser, and I'll never amount to anything. He tells this story. He said at that moment his life completely changed. From that moment forward, everything began to go wrong in his life. He made mistakes. He started flunking out of school. His girlfriend got pregnant, and he had to raise. He dropped out of school. He got a job as a bouncer in a bar working at night. For the next 10 years, his life would go from tragedy and calamity, from worse to worse. He continued to work at the bar, working at night from 7 at night till 5 in the morning. His life was a mess. He was trying to provide for his family. And a friend came up one day. He was living in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and a friend came up and said, hey, ExxonMobil is building a new chemical plant here in Baton Rouge, and they're hiring people. You ought to go and see if you can get your life together and get you a day job. And he said, they won't hire me. He said, nobody hires me. I'm a failure. He told everybody that. And the friend said, well, just try, Billy. Just go down there. Your family deserves better than what's going on. You're never there. This rough life that you have, getting in fights all the time. Just go down there and see what happens. So he went down there, and he put in an application at ExxonMobil at the chemical plant. The next day he gets a call and says, Mr. Hornsby, this is so-and-so, the head of the HR department here. I'd like to talk to you. And he said, you don't have to. He said, come on in, I want to talk to you. He says, I don't have to come in. You can tell me over the phone. I already know the answer. I flunked the test, and you don't want to hire me. And he said, sir, I really would like to talk to you. Could you just come in? He said, all right. So he went down there, and he sat down. He said, Mr. Hornsby, the reason I want to talk to you, he says, I've been doing this for a long time, for many years. I've been the head of HR for ExxonMobil. And we gave you a test that we give to all our employees. He said, but we even give this to engineers, people with master's and doctorate degrees. And I wanted to meet you in person, he said, because you have the highest score that I've ever seen, the highest score that we've ever seen in ExxonMobil in the history of our country, a company. And he said, Mr. Hornsby, you are a genius. You could do anything you want to do in life. And Billy said when he said that, something snapped in his brain, and he took a new name. He reversed what someone said over him 10 years before that he accepted. He said, when that man said that, he said, something snapped. And all of a sudden, his life changed. He got a job at ExxonMobil. There was a Bible study going there, and he got saved. He was going to Roy Stockstill's church in there, and he got raised up as a man of God and was a leader in the church and actually started a missionary organization that went all around the world. He moved to Germany and started churches all over Germany. He came back and worked, and that's when he got the idea. His life completely changed. It's when he got the idea to start the Association of Related Churches. And his goal was to start 1,000 life-giving churches. Today they've started, since he started this about 20 years ago, over 800. Do you know the number? About 806 life-giving churches have started because a name changed, because something snapped, and he would still have been in that rut that he was in if somebody didn't speak something over him, a positive. But he accepted that new name, and it completely changed the trajectory of his life, and has even affected me and you and the trajectory of this church, because ARC has helped us so much, and his brother Scott. None of this would have been realized if somebody didn't say a positive thing. And I want to be here today to be someone who says to you, you can be what you thought you could be. You can be more than you think in your mind, and you can break the lie of the devil and go to new places with God. And I want to tell you that. But it all depends on what you accept. He accepted what the teacher said, and then he accepted what that HR director said. See, it depends on what you accept. Find out what God's saying. So this is just a side note here, is a caution to parents and to teachers and to coaches and people of influence. Be careful what you say. Be careful about throwing out little flippant terms. I was careful about this. You know, we were both, you know, in raising our children. I knew this principle because I've seen it come to work in people's lives. You never want to put a label on your child that you don't want to see them live out, like clumsy, dummy, slow, lazy, to this, to that. No, don't say that. You say, oh, but they're always knocking over their milks. So I say, oh, you clumsy. Don't give them that label. Don't put that on them, you clumsy. Don't say that. Just say, well, we could have done better if we'd put the glass up here. Call them what you want them to become. I used to call Rachel a genius, our youngest daughter. I'd say, you're a genius. She was struggling in school, and I said, you're a genius. I used to always tell her, you're a genius. She went to Santa Fe. She was doing terrible. And I just believe one day that name clicked, because then she went to the University of Florida, and she graduated with a 4.0 summa cum laude. Yeah. I believe that name went on her. She said, Daddy, I never got a B. And I said, that's nothing. I never got a B either. She said, I graduated summa cum laude. I said, I got you beat. I graduated, Lordy, come quickly. And oh, Lordy, Lordy. I believe the name that you give your children has an impact on it. Be careful about giving them the wrong name. Don't say that. Don't say, oh, you know, you're a slow learner. No, don't say that. You don't ever say you can't do anything right. Don't even ask the question, what's the matter with you? Because you know what? When they go to bed, the devil will say, yeah, what is the matter with you? Don't say, check yourself. And how you're raising your... Speak great things over your children. Speak the names of God. Go to God and say, what do I call my child? And then they might laugh at you, but you know what? It's going to leave an imprint on their brain. You start saying where you want them to go and how where you see them, or how God sees them. Speak life. Say, you're a winner. You're a world changer. You're a genius. You're talented. You're gifted. But how do you see yourself? Maybe you need to change your name. You know, when Moses sent the 12 spies into the promised land, they were checking it out to see how they were going to go in there. And you remember the story, after they'd been in the wilderness, come across, he sent the 12 spies into the land to spy out the land, one from each tribe. And the Bible says they saw the giants, they saw Goliath and his brothers, and, you know, there were giants, they were big. And the 12 spies came back, and it said 10 of the spies, the Bible says, gave an evil report. What was the evil report? The evil report was, there's giants in the land. And they said this. They said, we see ourselves as grasshoppers in their sight. And it says, only two spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, we see the giants, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we can take those giants. But it says, the people's hearts fainted because of what the 10 spies said. Now, was it how the giants saw them? No, it was how they saw them. Right. They said, we see ourselves He said, they look at us and see grasshoppers. How do they know what they saw? That was what they saw of themselves. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. See, that's the difference between David and the whole army was cowering before Goliath because they saw Goliath was too big. David didn't look at himself. He looked at God. And he said, you come to me with a sword and a spear. I come to you in the name of the Lord. He didn't say, I come with my best rock. He said, I come in the name of the Lord. He saw God on the inside. He had a different vision. He had a different name. He didn't see loser. He didn't see small. He didn't see grasshopper. He saw the Lion of Judah on the inside of him. And he went forth in that name. You got to change your name the way you think. In 1958, a little boy was born in El Salvador. His name was Raphael. He had a rough life. His father was an alcoholic. Went through a lot of abuse, beatings. It was very difficult. In fact, it was so difficult that at a young age, his mother left them, and she moved to America. And this little boy endured a lot of pain with his dad, so much so that after a number of years, the grandparents stepped in and took the boy away from the father, and they began to raise him. And they didn't abuse him, but they were very negative. Caustic. They never encouraged him. It was better than living with his father, but they used to say negative things. You'll never amount to anything. And in fact, things got so bad at one point, the grandfather took him to a psychiatrist in El Salvador. And psychiatrist examined him and told the grandfather, said he has such and such, a big medical term, and he didn't know what. And he said, what does that mean? And the psychiatrist said to the grandfather in front of Raphael, said, the boy is crazy. He'll never be normal. He'll never have a normal life. He'll never socialize with other people. This boy is, to put it in layman's terms, he's crazy. This is what the little boy Raphael carried on his life. And then a years later, when he was a teenager, the mother sent for him and told, and the grandfather said, your mother sent for you, she's in America, and she wants you to come to America and live with her. And little Raphael said, well, grandfather, I want an American name. I need an American name. And he said, Raphael said that his grandfather rocked back in his chair. He'd never seen him act like this, and he looked up and he says, yes, we must give you a noble name because you're going to be very successful in America. And the boy was shocked because he never heard his grandfather say anything positive in his whole life. And he thought, well, this is amazing. He said, yes, we got to give you a good American name. He said, let me see. He said, your name shall be Irwin. That's it, Irwin. And the little boy thought, Irwin? What kind of a name is Irwin? I wanted something like Bob or Joe or that best of all American names, Bill. You know, give me a good name, Billy or something. But he thought, I must take the name because I've never heard my grandfather say anything positive ever. So he took the name Irwin and he came to the United States and he laid hold of that one moment of positivity in his life, and he said, I'm going to be successful. And all of a sudden, he started doing well in school, in high school, so well that he got a scholarship to college, and he went to college, and he got a bachelor's, and then he went on and he got a master's, and he eventually got a doctorate, and he got saved in the process because his heart was changed, his heart was open. He got saved. He became a very successful businessman. He was a designer. He became a multimillionaire. He got married. He had godly children, and one day his son says to him, Dad, why are we doing this? He said, what do you mean? He says, all we're doing is making money when we could be winning souls. So they started a church in Los Angeles called Mosaic Church, which is one of the fastest growing churches in America, in Los Angeles. They started multiple campuses. And today, Irwin McManus is a foremost speaker. He's an author. He's a designer. He's a filmmaker. He's planning churches all because of one positive thing that somebody said. He changed his name. And he took that name, Irwin, and he made something of his life, and he's impacting people over one little positive thing that was spoken over his life. Changed his name. And you can look him up, and you can see the great things that he's been doing in his life. But I want to ask you, what's in your noggin? What's in your noggin? What do you think? Instead of saying, oh, that's the way things always go for me, you know, say everything always works out for me. Instead of saying, oh, things always fail. If my bread falls, it falls butter side down. No, say, no, things always work out for me. Something good's going to happen from this. I'm blessed. Start saying, I'm blessed and highly favored. God is on my side. I'm a world overcomer. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm a giant killer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Last verse here in 1 John chapter 4 says this, speaking to you, you are from God. Think about that. You're from God, little children. The devil tries to put you down. No, say, I'm from God. I'm a child of God. God's always saying positive things, like that grandfather spoke one positive word. God always says positive words over you. Listen to what he's saying. He said, you're from God, little children, and what? Have overcome them. Who's them? Everything that comes against you. The devil, the people, the stuff, whatever, the circumstances of life, you have overcome them. Say, I'm a world overcomer. Say, I can conquer this thing. I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. God before me, who can be against me? Overcome them because why? Because greater is he who's in you than he who is in the world. Think about that all the time. Say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ. Change your name and change the world that you live in. Start some new traditions this year. Think about that during this fast. At the beginning of the year, people are starting. My cousin, he goes to the gym every day. He said in January, all of a sudden, he couldn't even find a parking place. Everybody was at the gym. He said, don't worry, it's only going to last a few weeks. No, you want your change to last the rest of it. What's your new thing? What are you going to start that's going to last? A new name that you're going to pick up. New habits. A new outlook on life. Maybe you say, I want to start being more positive instead of so negative. I want to get a new name. Maybe you want to forget that hurt, get past that hurt, and go beyond that. Love your enemies. Be kind to those who are unkind to you. Be like King David and how strong he was. Be like Jesus, who didn't consider the insults, but went ahead, changed your name. No more loser. No more less than. No more not enough. No more weak. No more insecure. No more not good enough. From now on, overcomer. I'm an overcomer. I'm a winner. I'm a champion. From now on, champion. Think of yourself. Champion. That's champion and whatever your name is. Champion Bill. Champion Janet. Champion John. Champion. Think of yourself as a champion. Think of yourself as victorious. Gifted. Did you know you're gifted? The Bible said before he formed you in your mother's womb, he called you, he purposed you, he gifted. There's giftings. The world is waiting to see your giftings come to fruition. Genius. Think of yourself as a genius. Say, I'm struggling in school. No, I'm a genius. Think of yourself. Call yourself healer. Hey, I lay hands on the sick and they recover. I'm a giant killer. I'm more than enough. I'm a child of the living God. It's a new year. Let's get a new name and a new you. Let's pray. Father, I pray for everybody that's here today, Lord. Everybody that's here today. I pray that you begin to show them a name that they want to get rid of. Hey, they may not even realize the name that they have picked up that they need to get rid of. But I ask you, either right now or in the days to follow, that you begin to show them the bad name that they need to shake off and the new name that they need to pick up. I pray for everybody right now, and in the name of Jesus, I break every lie of the devil over God's people right now. I break every negative word, every negative assignment, every negative name that's been spoken over people. I break it. Get off of God's people right now in Jesus' name. Set them free. I ask you to break chains off of people's hearts and minds right now. Remove yokes that shouldn't be there in the name of Jesus. And I ask right now, and if you would want to receive this, I just ask you to lift up your hands. And I ask you to pour into these hands right now anointing from heaven, strength from heaven, new name from heaven. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to pour into these people right now, into their hearts and into their minds, a new vision for their life and where they can end up at the end of this year. I pray for good things to come into every person's life right now. Jesus' name. And right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I got a very important question for you, and that is this. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? Everybody in this room is going to die. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You say, well, I think so. I hope so. I'm really not sure. Well, that's a pretty important consequence to leave to chance. And you say, yeah, but does anybody know for sure? Yeah. The Bible says, I've written to you little children that you may know that you have eternal life. You need to know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you must be born again. That simply means there comes a time in your life whereby an act of your own free will, you surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins. He comes and he lives on the inside of you. He makes you into a new person. That's how simple it is. If you've never done that, that's why you're here today. But you might be here today. You say, I did that in the past, but today I'm not where I want to be, and I want to get back on track with God. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If either one of those two applied to you, I want to pray for you. Just slip up your hand real quick. Let me know where you're at. Thank you. Anybody else? You want me to pray for you? You want to surrender your life to Christ or resurrender it? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Put your hands down. Pray this prayer with me. Everybody help them out. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. You died on a cross for my sins, and God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior, and I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God. Well, listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, on the connection card, there's a little box, and if you check it, I'm going to send you some special materials in the mail. At the end of the service, it's just moments away. We're going to have some prayer teams up here to pray with anybody that needs prayer for anything. If you don't have a Bible, come on up. We want to give you a Bible. Put your name in it. You can put your connection card in the offering basket when it comes by. We're going to receive our offering. My offering scripture is Hebrews 11:4. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. So the difference between Cain and Abel, you remember Cain killed Abel, but it says God was pleased with Abel's gifts. The only difference, when you go back and read the original text, the difference was that Abel brought his first fruits, and Cain, it says, in the course of time. In other words, when it was convenient to him. Cain gave after he took care of this, took care of that, and saw how much he... It's important to put God first. Put God first. That's what tithe is called, the first. Put it first. Not, well, let me see if I can do it. Because that's where the faith is. And he's in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 because he gave in faith. He gave. How do we know he gave in faith? He gave first. So put God first in 2020. I believe he'll take you places you never dreamed of. There's three ways to give. You can give in the envelope. It's on the screen here. You can give online, or you can text to give. And if you can't read that, it's on the back of your bulletin if you'd like to text to give. Let's pray over the offering. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. Good seed into good soil. I ask you to give back to the giver a hundredfold return, which you promised your disciples. And now I speak this blessing over your people that you had Moses speak years ago. I say they were blessed coming in, they're blessed going out, in the city, in the country, in their home, in the field, when they lie down, when they get up. Blessed is their bread and their water, their basket, their bowl, their barn, their bank account, their job, their home, their car, their animals, everything they have. I command the blessing of God upon them. I say if the enemy comes against them one way, he'll flee seven ways before their face. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against them in judgment, they'll condemn with the word of God, because they're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. They'll lend and not borrow, and all they put their hand to, they'll prosper. I call increase into God's people, spiritual, emotional, physical, financial, social increase, blessings from every direction, opportunity to lay hands on the sick and see them recover and lead people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, and everybody agree with that said? Amen. God bless you as you give.